This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Of fun on a Thursday. The week is almost over, and granted, inflation sucks and we're going into nuclear war, but the weekend we still have. What do we have on tap for tonight? We're really gonna nail down into this despicable Saudi Arabia OPEC story. It's actually bigger than the inflation story. I'll explain what I mean in just a moment. I will talk about inflation. I'm actually madder about something different than most people are ranting about today, so just bear with me on that. Are we going to lose America's cities completely? There's a story out of New York that's something to watch. Test scores in free fall. Our Democrat rift, we rarely see those. Debanking, you getting kicked out of the banks. All that and so much more. Emails tonight. All that is coming up on the Jesse Kelly Show. And lest I forget, tomorrow. What is it? Say it with me, Chris. Don't shake your head. Say it with me. It's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday tomorrow. Ask me anything. It doesn't matter what it is. We'll have some fun all 3 hours. Email your questions in now. Now. To jesse@jessekellyshow.com, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I want to begin with something a little bit different, though. Now, I know, I've no doubt today, you have heard from everybody on TV and radio about Joe Biden and Saudi Arabia and the oil thing. In case you haven't, maybe you're just getting off work, been busy. Maybe this is the only show you listen to, which I wouldn't blame you, but this is the deal. You know, the Biden administration, they got into office and they promptly declared war on all American energy. American oil, gas, coal, what runs America, they declared war on it immediately. They're canceling leases, canceled the Keystone Pipeline. It's an administration wholly committed to the destruction of those industries. And they immediately got in and they went to war with them. Well, the problem is, not just America, the entire world runs on those things. And it should be noted, this is no defense of the Biden administration. This is top to bottom now the stated policy of the Democratic Party in the United States of America. Maybe the most insane move I've ever heard in America when it comes to climate change was New York City banning natural gas from any new construction. That's insane. I mean, That's suicidal. Anyway, set that aside. Okay, that's what the Biden administration did. They immediately declared war on it. Well, if you take one of the world's biggest oil producers, us, and you immediately remove all of that oil from the market, or some of it, not all of it, but you remove so much of that oil from the market, price is going to go up. Here's the problem. Just stay with me. We're going to walk through this and why I'm a little bit upset. I'm going to try not to lose my temper. You know, I don't like doing that. I don't like yelling, scream radio. I'm going to try not to lose my temper. When you do that, again, I don't care if you believe in man-made climate change. You shouldn't, because that's insane, but maybe you do. That's fine. It doesn't matter. When you declare war on oil and gas and coal, the cost of not just energy, the cost of everything goes up. It doesn't matter what you think about oil or carbon or man-made climate change. I don't care where you are right now. Unless you're out in the middle of nature, look around you. Everything you see, cars, buildings, pavement, clocks, guns, hats. I'm just describing the studio here. Plastic water bottles. Every single thing you see either has oil as a central ingredient in it, or oil is necessary to produce it, or oil is necessary to transport it, or all of the above. The world runs on oil. If you declare war on that industry and reduce the supply of that, you are going to increase the cost of not just gas, you're going to increase the cost of everything across the board. Cost of everything. Paper goes up. Everything goes up. Food. You have any idea how much oil is needed to make fertilizer, to make your food? Cost of everything goes up. Okay. Now, that's what happened. Fast forward to where we are now. The inflation numbers today are staggering. Staggering. And I'm actually not going to get into the specifics of them just yet. I'll get to that. But I feel like something really gets lost if you just start listing off, oh, eggs are up this or eggs are up that. And I'll do a little bit of that, but just to stay with me. So the Biden administration is facing something dark, really, really dark. We are facing an economic disaster. I don't know that I want to say disaster. That may be too much. I've told you over and over again, I don't need to belabor the point. We are heading into some very, very difficult economic times. Right now, the unemployment, it's the one good thing you can say, is low. That is about to change and change dramatically. Because inflation's going up, interest rates are going to be jacked up again. They think they're going to be jacked up 0.75, which that translates to a buttload. And that means companies are going to start firing people as cash gets restricted more and more. Remember, 175,000 jobs lost a month is what Bank of America is predicting. So we're heading into dark economic times. Now, let's just pause here for a moment. Okay, we have official inflation numbers out today, but set the numbers aside. Let's talk about human suffering, human beings. Do you care about people? Now, I'm a sociopath, but I care about people. When I hear 175,000 jobs lost a month, maybe it's selfish. Maybe I just reflect back on me. As you know, I've been out of work before. I didn't grow up rich. I didn't grow up in TV and radio. I've been out of work before. I've had to sit down with my wife, young babies with no job, and analyze what we own, what we don't own, the bills, we can't pay them all, what do we prioritize? And look, this is, again, my parents always worked hard, always provided, so I don't want to act like we grew up dirt poor. We certainly did not. My dad at one point in time had to go pawn off one of his guns to pay the bills. So maybe that's where this comes from. When I hear 175,000 jobs lost in a month, I think about the man who has to come home from work that day and walk in the door. Maybe he didn't have the heart to call his wife ahead of time. Maybe he has to walk in the door and she greets him, kiss, kids are happy to see him. Daddy, happy to come home. And she can read it on his face and she pulls him aside and he tells her, I got laid off today and they don't think they're going to hire me back again. And I don't know what we're going to do. I think about the stories I hear from people I know about they're texting their husband from the grocery store. Honey, we can't buy ribs this week. I know you wanted to make ribs for the family this weekend. I've I've already gone through the grocery store. I'm beyond our budget already. We can't have ribs. Sorry, we'll just have to have some Kraft mac and cheese or something like that. These are stories that are not happening next month. These are the stories that are happening now before we start hemorrhaging 175,000 jobs a month. And I hear these stories, and I'll be frank, it breaks my heart. But that's the sad part. Now for the mad part. The Biden administration, you know, we've talked about this before in the wake of mass shootings and things like that, about how these people cheer when terrible things happen because there's just no humanity left inside of them. It came out today that the Biden administration, they asked OPEC not to cut back on oil production. Hey, Saudi Arabia, please don't cut back on oil production. Because remember, if they cut back on oil production, price of everything goes up again, at gas, everything. But they didn't ask them not to cut back on oil production. They asked them not to cut back on oil production until after the midterm elections. How despicable and evil and soulless do you have to be to look out at all the landscape right now and your only concern is how many seats in the House and Senate Democrats are going to lose in the midterm? I would have more respect if he just flat out universally asked them, hey, don't cut back on oil. I'd still disrespect him, but I'd have more respect for that. They just flat out told them, don't cut back until after November. Okay, we got a big election coming up. Hey, after that, jack those prices through the roof. Screw the peasants, baby, but just wait till after November. Screw these people, man. That is so despicable and wrong. And maybe you're in the middle of this right now, going through hell, or you're worried you're about to be. I'm sorry that's your president. I'm sorry that's your government. These people suck, and I hate them. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. I promise I'm going to get lighter here in a minute. It sickens me. And we are going to talk about losing the cities. We got people making six figures fleeing New York City. There's so much to get to. But I can't stop thinking about this. I can't stop thinking about how hard these times are going to be from people. I was talking to the wife this morning because we saw this.
In today's Money Lead, your heating bill is about to soar to record heights. A new report says U.S. households will likely spend more on energy bills this winter. If you use natural gas, your cost will rise about $200 or 28%. And if it's more frigid than predicted, you can plan to spend up to 51% more than last year. Why? Well, it's a combination of higher fuel prices and higher heating demand. The lesson here might be ask for thick socks this Christmas.
Ask for thick socks? These are the numbers. Fuel oil up 58%, gas 30%, electricity 15%, airfares 43%, eggs 30%, groceries 13%, baby food 12%, earnings down 3%. But these are all just numbers that pundits read. You already knew all that. You knew all that when you got your power bill last month, didn't you? You knew all that the last time you went down to buy food, didn't you? You knew all that. You already know. You're already watching your standard of living evaporate in front of your eyes. And the people who lead us don't give a crap. You're already watching it. You're already having to make decisions. Honey, I'm sorry. I know Thanksgiving's coming up. And I know your mom's been in poor health. And we were supposed to go see her. Honey, I'm sorry. We can't afford it. We can't afford the gas to go. We definitely can't afford airfare. Just we'll FaceTime your mom for Thanksgiving. Oh, I'm sorry, son. I know you wanted to do travel baseball. These fees and the gas prices, we just can't afford to go. I'm sorry we can't do that. I'm sorry we can't do that. I'm sorry we can't. I'm sorry. It's going to be a nation of I'm sorrys now. I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry, son. I'm sorry, daughter. I'm sorry I can't. I'm sorry we can't. I'm sorry we can't. And as you're watching your standard of living evaporate in front of your eyes, the freaking people who run this country only give a crap about the midterm elections. No, Saudi Arabia, please don't cut gas. I mean, not yet. No, after November, it's fine. After that, screw them all. No. I don't care what you do after November. It's not like I cared about the people. I just don't do it. Just don't do it till then. And then I'm supposed to take this as some kind of tough guy thing? Now Biden, because the Saudis wouldn't help him win the midterms, he's out there issuing threats?
But we should. We should. And I am in the process when the House and Senate gets back. There's going to be some consequences for what they've done with Russia.
What kind of consequences? Menendez says suspend all arms sales. Is that something you'd consider?
I'm not going to get into what I'd consider and what I have in mind, but there will be consequences.
What they've done with Russia, it has nothing to do with what they've done with Russia. They won't help Joe Biden win midterms. And then when they get official numbers, because these people have no idea what you go through. They're not making those business decisions. When they see these numbers today, and this is the first time they've ever experienced it because they don't have any idea. When they see these numbers today, they actually go out and instead of saying, hey, I'm sorry, hey, we're working on it, hey, we're striving to make it better, you get this crap.
And a lot of people are hurting these days. And today's report shows, though, some progress.
Some progress? Some progress? Here's Janet Yellen.
We still see the impact of COVID in China and the slowdown in Chinese growth. And with high inflation and tightening monetary policy in many advanced countries, emerging markets from really all of these factors are suffering many stresses. So there's a lot to talk about. But from the perspective of the United States, I think the United States is doing very well.
You feel like you're doing really well? Did you feel like you were doing really well the last time you went out with your husband or your girlfriend or wife or whoever it may be? You feel like you were doing really well last time you got your bill for dinner? Because that's up astronomically, too. Do you feel like you're doing well? Don't worry, though. It's really not that big of a deal to these people.
Percent in September, and gas prices fell.
To be clear, I stripped energy out of my question because I was just talking about core inflation. Continue.
No, core inflation strips out energy and food, but when we're talking about squeezing family budgets, we really have to talk about energy and food. And it is the case that while gas prices did start to rise at the end of September, in today's report, they were down 5%. But look, nobody is denying your fundamental point, which is this is a real squeeze on family budgets. And I think the question is, are policymakers doing what they need to do? The president released oil from the strategic reserve. That contributed to almost 100-day of gas declines. I mentioned our work on the supply side, the Inflation Reduction Act, lowering medical care costs, lowering prescription drug costs, lowering the cost of clean energy. So all of these are moving in the right direction. They take time to factor into these price indices, and we'd like to see that happen a lot quicker.
Despicable. Oh, and what do you get from the media? I saw this morning. Gosh, it killed me. They're talking about, man, with these prices, there's a potential recession.
And Brian, just telling Americans that things aren't as bad here as they are around the world really isn't a reassuring statement at this point. And I want to ask you about the president's comments earlier this week to Jake Tapper, still saying that he doesn't believe that the U.S. will experience a recession, but if we do, it will be a, quote, mild one. What does that even mean? What should Americans be prepared for in the months ahead?
We're in a recession. I saw the Today Show was on a waiting room. It was on in a waiting room I was in this morning, and they talked about a potential recession. We're in a recession, you lying scumbags. By any definition, two straight quarters of economic shrinkage is a recession. Just because you put out the word to the minions and changed the definition as we went into one, we're in one now. At least pretend like you care. Gosh. All right. I'm done yelling. First, we're going to talk to my friend Kurt Schlichter because I've been telling you to move. We're going to talk to him about a national divorce. And then we're going to talk about losing our cities. Young professionals are fleeing New York City. Before we get to that, though, you should find an outlet like I have tried to find an outlet for your stress. I will tell you, training with my weapon is a great outlet for me. It makes me feel good. But again, ammunition is so daggone expensive now, and driving to the range is expensive now, and the range itself has had to raise the fees. My Mantis X allows me to practice with my weapon inside of my home. It's what the Green Berets use. It attaches to my weapon, and I get put through drills. I get live feedback inside of my home. This thing's incredible. I've gotten so much better. Go to MantisX.com and get one today. Save yourself some range time, some ammo money. MantisX.com. We'll be right back with Kurt.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and look, I have no problem. Joining me now is my friend, Town Hall columnist, author, lawyer, Kurt Schlichter. He's my buddy, but before we get to this, Chris, I have a bone to pick with you. Kurt requested I Fought the Law and the Law Won. I have no doubt about that. Why did you play the crappiest version of that song possible? That version sucks. You don't know the song? That's a classic. Kurt, these kids are so disgraceful nowadays.
Jesse, I specifically requested the Clash version of the Bobby Fuller original.
My gosh, Kurt, that was from it, you? What, did you hit your head this morning?
Latin version, it sets out a high and exacting standard that most liberals fail to meet. It is an amazing cover, and yes, they are dirty, smelly communists who need a fire hose turned on them, but that version rocks.
All right, Kurt. You write this awesome book series, which we'll get to in a couple minutes, but you talk about how America is dividing, obviously, in a very entertaining way. I talk about it a lot, how we should get a national divorce, how we don't share common values anymore. I tell people in places like New York, get out. Get to a place that shares your values. Get out. You have a great article, very interesting article out today. I read it this morning in Town Hall. What are you saying?
Look, I would love to basically throw all their crap out on the lawn, and when they come home, go from an upper window and go, "Hey, slut, you're out of here. Turn around. Get out. Get your junk off my lawn before I turn on the sprinkler." But I don't think that's a practical solution, simply because of geography. I mean, can you imagine Amber Heard and Johnny Depp having to live next door to each other? He's got to make sure his bedroom window's locked all the time so she doesn't come in and nab her in the bed. That's kind of our problem. You can't, as a, and my books talk about the practical problem of having a red America and a blue America next to each other, because it's not, well, you know, we just don't get along, but we're going to be nice to each other for the sake of the kids. No, no, we're going to emotionally damage the kids and try and kill each other. And that's probably a bad thing.
Okay. Well, if I don't get my national divorce, not saying I'm giving up on it, Kurt, but if I don't get my national divorce, then what do I get? What do you want?
I want to crush them. I want to break them. I want to defeat them. I want to fight them and win. You know, culturally, in at the ballot box, in society. And the thing is, you know, I look, I could see you there, and I know you're rolling your eyes. I can hear your eyes rolling in your head. You're going, oh, God, Kurt, as usual, Mr. Softy. But hear me out. We haven't tried kicking their butts. We haven't really put it to use. We haven't had people who want to take the fight to them. We've got a bunch of spineless Mitt Romney-like invertebrates who always want to assume the submissive role in the prison that is American culture. And I think we're finding, we're getting some people who are willing to take the fight to the enemy. Not only people who are willing to take the fight, but people who are willing to do it in a competent and disciplined manner, as opposed to bull in a China shop, which is nice. I like bulls. I like China. I like shops. But, you know, there's a limit to their effectiveness.
Okay, what do you mean discipline manner? What? Who are you talking about? Who's disciplined? What are they doing? What should I look forward to?
Well, you should look forward, say, and I'm going to be purely hypothetical. Say there was a major disaster, for instance, with a lot of chaos and a lot of attention, and this person assessed the situation, developed a good plan, focused on his intent, and executed it so well that you never hear Hurricane Ian mentioned anymore in the media. Oh, wait. I guess it's not hypothetical.
Okay. This again, we're speaking with Kurt Schlichter, columnist, town hall author. This sounds like a pretty strong pitch for Heavy D in 2024. Am I to take it as you're a Heavy D man?
I am whoever's best to win, and Heavy D's got a lot of advantages. Trump has a lot of advantages. We got to be open about that, that he is a guy who inspires a lot of people. He gets people moving. Not the most disciplined guy. Now I come out, look, I got, you know, I am who I am. I'm a former colonel. I like stuff to work like clockwork. Chaos, I can deal with it, but not in my own house, right? So Donald Trump has always been kind of a person who ran things not in exactly the way I would. But this is a guy who got huge results. I mean, Donald Trump did a lot of good things and missed a lot of opportunities. So I'm not counting out Trump. I'm not a no-Trumper. I will vote for the Republican nominee who isn't Nikki Haley. Look, I mean, we have to have a vigorous primary to hear these, air these differences out. We've got to, they got to make a case. This is an employment interview. I don't owe Trump my vote. I don't owe DeSantis my vote. I need them to come and earn it and tell me why they're the best. And if they convince me they're the best, they're getting my vote.
Okay, you mentioned chaos. I think that there will be chaos around whoever the Republican nominee is, because the system, our corrupt system who hates us,
yes,
will create said chaos. You could have Jesus Christ as the Republican nominee, and they'll make him out to be some card-carrying Nazi who wants women to die. Doesn't chaos, yes, come with just having a Republican today?
No, no. There are two different things. Chaos is what you're going to face no matter who you are. The Republican has to face chaos. You have two ways of facing it. Your group, your team can be in chaos, or your team can be focused and disciplined. Trump's team was almost always in chaos. He still got stuff done. It kind of worked for him sometimes. Other times it went very much off the rails. But remember, we are facing chaos. So this is a battle against chaos. How are you going to face it? Are you going to face it with a disciplined team that assesses and comes up with a coherent plan, which it executes viciously? Or are you going to take things as they come and just kind of play it by ear, which sometimes works, but not always?
All right, Kurt. Everyone has read Kurt's book series at this point in time. Everyone waits for the new one to come out, and there's a new one out.
Everybody is not a virgin loser Bulwark staffer.
Yes, every non-virgin has read the book.
Well,
Kurt, what's the new book about?
The new book's called Inferno. It's the seventh. It features Kelly Turnbull, who's just a military guy, and his specialty is going into Blue America, which is essentially a giant Nazi college campus, and having adventures. But in this one, Jesse, I focus a little more on red America. What's red America look like? And I don't want to paint a picture of everything's perfect and sunshine and flowers, because human nature's been repealed. And everybody, everybody on our side is always an angel and always good. Now, human nature comes into it. There are problems. There are challenges. And those play a big role in Inferno. But there's lots of shooting and lots of liberal bashing. And if you like the Never Trumpers, you probably shouldn't read it, because I insult the sexual inadequacy again and again throughout.
Kurt, where can people get the book?
You go to Amazon, get Inferno. Just Kurt Schlichter's Inferno, it's there, it is, and it's so much fun. Okay, I'm an Andrew Breitbart guy, right? I'm not in it to make a long, it's not, as Locke and Burke used to say, the epistemology, the eschatological, shut up!
Kurt, the book is Inferno. Thank you, my brother, I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
All right. Losing America's cities. I think that sucks. A lot of people outside of the city, a lot of people, look, where I live, a lot of people celebrate that. Screw the cities. I think it sucks. More bad news out of New York. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Before we talk about that, let's talk about putting your money where your morals are. It is very, very difficult to look at the state of this culture and think, I can do anything about it. That's one of the worst feelings in the world, right? To be helpless. That something bad is happening and I'm helpless to stop it. You're not helpless to stop it at all. Voting with your money is critical today. Critical. If you don't, then you are funding the destruction of your own culture. Now, there are some industries we don't have a choice. Like, you go buy a new car from a company that doesn't suck. That's virtually impossible now. Your cell phone, you have a choice. If you have Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile still, you're choosing to fund your enemies. You switch to Pure Talk, not only does the average family save almost $1,000 a year, you're funding your friends, people who stand for your values, who love this country. And right now they have a deal. You get an additional 50% off your first month. You have to dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. It takes less than 10 minutes. It's nothing. Dial #250, say Jesse Kelly. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Do not forget, tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You new listeners of the show, on Friday, the entire 3 hours, we'll obviously hit any big stories if they come, but for the most part, the whole 3 hours, it's me answering your questions. Whatever you email in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. It doesn't have to be political. It can be, that's fine. History, employment, men, women, travel. It could be stupid. It could, whatever you want. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Get your questions in right now. Now, I'm going to get to inflation and stuff like that. And just 10 minutes from now, I'm going to actually get into the numbers. And I'll give you my take on it. It's very different. I don't focus that much on the actual numbers themselves, so just hang tough for that. It'll be different. I'll actually offend everybody at some point in time next hour. I'm going to talk about trophy hunting. They say you should never talk about trophy hunting. I'm talking about going to Alaska and like shooting a giraffe or something like that. They say you should never talk about that, Chris, because it makes people so mad. So that'll be fun. You know I love that stuff. That's good fun. It's fun, Chris. We can address stuff that's fun. Now, I do want to address this. I realize in rural America, it is fun to dump on cities. It is. And cities, this is not something new. Let's focus on something real quick here. It's not something new that people in the city view people who live outside of the city as stupid, uneducated country bumpkins. That's not new. And it's not new that people outside of the city look at people who live in cities as hedonistic snobs. It's not new. And let's be frank about this. Stereotypes, virtually all of them, they're stereotypes for a reason. They are fairly true on occasion. That's obviously not universal. There's 1,000 farmers out there smarter than I'll ever be. There's 1,000 people in the city more righteous than I'll ever be. That's human nature. Back in Moses' time, the people in the cities were looking out at the shepherds saying, "What a bunch of dirt balls. I bet he can't even read." And the shepherds were looking in there saying, "I bet he's with a hooker right now." Right? It's just that's the way it goes. But it doesn't matter what you think about city, not city. A city, cities, they are a critical part of a nation. You know, I don't come from New York City. I was born in Ohio. I've lived in Montana, which is as country as it gets. I now live in the Houston area, which isn't country, but I'm more of a rural person. Grew up hunting, fishing, that kind of thing. But you know what? A city, it's what goes on the billboard of your country. What goes on the billboard of the Philippines? Manila. What goes on the billboard of Japan? Tokyo. What's on the billboard of Germany? Berlin. It's what goes on the billboard. Somebody right now, if they're in the Czech Republic, and maybe they're pondering a trip to America, you know what they're going to see? The Statue of Liberty. That's what they're going to see. It's what it is. What's on the billboard? Cities are critical. New York City is critical. I saw this headline in the New York Post today. I'm making six figures, and I still can't afford New York City. Goes on to talk about a couple making $200,000 annually. 200 grand. Man, have you ever made 200 grand in your life? 200 grand. And they can no longer survive in the city. New York has the largest net outflow of young professionals under 35 making more than 100 grand of any other major city. So your wealthy young professionals, they are fleeing New York City. And this isn't unique to New York. I don't mean to just pick on New York. This is happening across the country. This is why it's a big deal and why it matters a lot. You're going to see places like New York turn into something very unique, something that you really haven't seen too much of. You've seen little glimpses of it, but not too much of, and this is what I mean. Cities are going to become divided against themselves. New York City, it's going to become a place for the uber rich or the uber poor. And everyone in the middle, they're going to leave. Well, what does that create? What do uber rich people do? Uber rich people, I mean, on top of eating caviar and drinking champagne with their pinky out, uber rich people make sure that they and their family members are protected at all times. Violent crime is prevalent with the uber poor. So you're going to see New York City, you're going to see it over the next decades, you're going to see it turn into a place where the uber rich areas are virtually walled off from the uber poor areas. The uber rich areas are going to become citadels. Now, what's this going to do? On top of the living conditions for the people who actually have to live in the city and they're trying to make ends meet, on top of those conditions going downhill, it's going to kill things like tourism. Well, guess what? Cities need tourism, one, and two, on a larger level, a much more national level, it's going to kill the reputation of America as New York City turns into a place only for billionaires and people on welfare. It's going to tell that guy in Tokyo or Manila or Berlin that it's not a place he can afford to go. In fact, he's not going to go to America at all, because as much as I love my Montana, He's not going to fly across the world from Tokyo to go to Bozeman, Montana, where I grew up, to eat granola and go skiing. He's simply not. Now, I would argue he might find himself having a very good time on the Bozeman ski slopes, but I'm not going to convince him of that. If he thinks he can't afford to fly and stand up and take a selfie at the Statue of Liberty and take his family out to dinner without them getting stabbed in the face, he's not coming at all. It hurts the country to have America's cities turn into what they're turning into, and it sucks. Sorry, I had to go off on that tangent. It just bothers me. I hate it. All right, we're going to talk about inflation, trophy hunting, ACT scores, children's hospitals, emails. Before we get to those, let's do give Montana a little shout out now that I was hard on them. They at least have clean air. If I walked out of my studio right now in Houston, I'd be able to smell the pollution in the air. You can feel it in your lymph nodes. You know, in general, the air is not good when you can feel it in your lymph nodes. Eden Pure Thunderstorm, it makes sure at least the air in my home is as clean as that mountain air. And the studio. I actually own 6 of these now. I owned one originally off a buddy's recommendation. I loved it so much I went out and bought first 2 more, then 3 more. I get emails every day thanking me for these things. They're miracles. It's just this little black box that goes in the wall, and they have a deal right now on a 3-pack, $200 off a 3-pack for my listeners. You have to go to EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse3 for that deal. The code is Jesse and the number 3. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse3. All right, inflation time. Next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.